Good evening. It's been a while since we've spoken. I hope you all enjoyed your holiday. It was really incredible. Leaving Egypt and Seder, and the seventh day connection was powerful as well. I hope you all enjoyed it. Please join me in saying the Ana Bako. Ana Bako Gedula Chemincha Tati Terura Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Taf Tzadi. Gematria of these letters, the first letters of these words, is 506, which is a connection, the same gematria, as the phrase Ahavat Hinam, unconditional love. Kabel rinat amcha sagvenu taharenu nora. Kufrei Shayin, Sintet Nun. These six letters spell two Hebrew words, kra, satan, which translates as tear up Satan. Tear up the negativity. Destroy it. Remove it. The same six letters can be rearranged to spell two other Hebrew words, Sha'ar Katan. They mean small gates, and it's a hint, a reminder, to guard our gates, our eyes, our ears, our nose, our mouth. The entryway that Satan uses to penetrate within us. Gibor Dorshe Yehudcha Kevavat Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalad Yud Kaf Shin. Nun Gimel Dalad has a gematria of 57, which is the Hebrew word zan, which means sustenance. Sustenance represents fulfillments for anything that we lack. Yud Kaf Shin, the last three letters of this sequence, is a sequence in and of itself that allows us to take back the energy that we have given to the other side. Since there's no disappearance in spirituality, once we have connected with an essence, with an energy, we still have that connection within us. And this sequence, Yud Kaf Shin, allows us to take it back. The two letters of the month of Nisan, the Dalad that created the planet Ma'adim, the planet Mars, the planet of war, the planet of battles, and the Hay, which is the letter that created the constellation Tale, the lamb, or the ram, the sign of Aries. And it also created the month of Nisan, Rachamei Tzidkatcha Tamid Gamlem. Betet Resh, Tzadi Tav Gimel. This verse connects to the Sphira of Netzach. Netzach, the essence of Netzach, one of its deeper understandings, is a concept of victory, but not the victory that is lost tomorrow, but eternal victory, constant victory. Chasin Kadosh Berov Tuvcha Na'el Adatach. Petkuf Bet Ket Nunayan. This verse, this sequence of letters connects to the Sphira of Hod, which translates as thank you, as beauty, as surrender. And all of these essences make up the consciousness of Hod. Yachid Geye Lamcha Penei Zokrei Kiddushatah. Yud Gimel Lamed, Hey Zion Kuf. This sequence connects to the Sphira of Yesod, the foundation. And Yesod is the channel between the spiritual and the physical. Yesod is what allows us to speed the spreading of the wisdom of Kabbalah during this, the sixth millennium. Shavatenu kabel Ushma tiakatenu Yodea Talumot Shinkufav Tzadiyutav. The last four letters of this sequence, Vav Tzadi Yud Tav, has a gematria of 506, the same gematria as the first verse, the gematria that connects us to unconditional love, Ahavat Hinam. The first two letters stand, or is 400, and represents the four worlds in their perfected state of 10 Sephirot within 10 Sephirot. This last verse is the manifestation verse, the verse that allows us to manifest in our lives, assists us in manifesting in our lives all that we desire. And the last verse, the eighth verse, we say in a whisper, which we refer to as speaking silently. I'm now going to read from a verse from the Parsha of Zohar, or from the Parsha of Shmini, from the Zohar. I'm reading from section 4, and it came to pass on the eighth day. It's verse 26. Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maaseh yadeinu kunenei aleinu maaseh yadeinu kunenehu. Petach Rabbi Elazar v'yamar v'yehi v'yom hashmini k'ara v'gomer v'yehi v'yom hashmini Mayom Hashmini Ela Ketiv Mipetach Ohel Moed Vegomer Ki Shivat Yamim Yimale Et Yedchem Ki Shivat Beshivat Yamim Mibaele O Shiva Yamim Yimale Et Yedchem Maiki Shivat Yamim Yimale. Rabbi Elazar opens the discussion with the verse, and it came to pass on the eighth day. He asks, why does the scripture mention the eighth day? For it has a reference to the verse, and you shall not go out from the door of the tent of meeting for 7 days. For 7 days shall he consecrate you. He continues asking, why is it written 7 days and not in 7 days? And the Zohar will go on to answer that question. Eight is a number that deals with the upper levels, the upper worlds. It's an eight. That is one more than seven. We know that the world was created in 7 days, and the seventh day, the Shabbat, God completed his work and rested. We are taught to rest on the seventh day, not to complete our work, but by resting, we complete our work. When something is done on the eighth day, it means that there has been a Shabbat, that has contributed that essence of that energy of Shabbat to whatever we are talking about. Certain sacrifices, the animal had to be 8 days old. A male boy baby is circumcised on the eighth day, not earlier, because the energy of Shabbat must be utilized to settle the soul before that pain can be inflicted on the body-soul combination. And there are other aspects of the eight that we don't really have time to go into this evening. These classes on Wednesday nights are talking about the mitzvot and what the consciousness that is recommended to do a mitzvah, the particular mitzvot. Sometimes we'll be talking about the rituals themselves, and sometimes we will be talking in general terms, because there are some mitzvot that are general, and there are some mitzvot that are specific. But there is a direct connection between each mitzvah, whether it's a positive or a do not do something mitzvah. Either way, it has a direct connection to some part of the body. And that body part has a direct connection to some part of the soul. Before I start talking about the mitzvah for tonight, which is a very interesting one, does anybody have any questions? To ask a question, press star 6. Pressing star 6 unmutes your phone. Okay. The mitzvah we are going to talk about tonight is called Love God. And as we have discussed, a mitzvah can be a command, but is never really meant to be a command. But people do it as a command. And it can also be a connection. which is the higher level of consciousness. So what is this mitzvah that applies to all people, male and female, in all times, in every generation, in every year, in every day, and in all areas of the world, both inside Israel and outside of Israel? And the verse that teaches us this mitzvah comes from the book of Deuteronomy, the book of Devarim. It's chapter 5. Let me make sure that. Yes, it's chapter 6, verse 5. And it comes right after the Shema. And it's a verse that many people are familiar with. And there have been much discussion about this verse. The verse is, V'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, b'kol levavcha, u'v'chol nafshecha, u'v'chol me'odecha. And the translation, which many people have read before, is, you shall love Hashem your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your resources, as this translation. And other translations have it in different, with all your might, with all your soul, and with all your strength, with all your power. Different ways of translating the word meod, which is the last word in the verse, meodecha. Meod is a word that the Mekubalim teach us transfers the energy of death, transfers the energy of the angel of death. Meod is translated as additional, as very. So in Hebrew you would say, I am good, ani tov. To say I am very good, you would say tov meod, ani tov meod. The general essence of this conversation, of this understanding, is meod is an additional essence and energy that is really not needed. It's sufficient to say I'm good, Lianara. Why does one have to emphasize it with the word meod? And we also learn in the rules of the Torah, when one adds to the Torah, one profanes it. One makes it pasul if one adds a letter. So why this additional word? And we are taught also in the Torah, many places, where to add emphasis to a concept, the word will be repeated. In the Parasha of Shmini, the center of the Torah, the word drash, the rosh, is repeated. And that is the exact center of the Torah. Why is it the word repeated? To add emphasis about it, to point out the center of the Torah, to give us that understanding. So there are many ways that Hashem could have given us this understanding. But here he is saying to us, commanding us, love me with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might, power, resources, with everything that is extra, additional. Let's start with the first question. How can someone command you to love them? And this, many, many sages and many words have been spoken about, commented on this consciousness, this concept. How can God command us to love him? To love someone or something is a connection. It's not something that's commandable. I can't make myself love someone. I can focus on their attributes and through that focus come to love them. But I can't be commanded to love them. And yet, this is a mitzvah. This is a command. This is a connection. This is a level of consciousness, which all mitzvot are. This is a level of consciousness that we must strive to obtain. And we also learn from this that we are in control of our levels of consciousness. Whoa. When you were a kid, this morning, I don't feel like getting up. Mommy, I don't want to go to school today. Are you in control of your feelings? Can you change the way you feel? What happens? What does it mean that we have changed the way we feel? I don't feel good right now. 2 minutes later, I'm feeling great. What is the understanding of this? What do we learn from this? And it is a central part of this mitzvah. We can change our feeling. We can change our consciousness. How does one do that? How does one come to the level of love? Love God. Love this entity that we don't know anything about. Love this entity that we have never experienced, as most of us in our secular world training do not experience God. In fact, it's frowned upon to discuss God in the secular world. In fact, many scientists are thrown out of their scientific world if they bring something that is not provable into their papers, into their thoughts, into their understanding of the world. And yet we in the I don't want to use the word religious world, we in the spiritual world will constantly refer to God. And as we have spoken many times in the past, when I say God, I mean something that doesn't resonate and mean the same thing to you. The concept of God is a different concept for each person. And that's exactly the idea of love. What does it mean to love someone is totally different from one person to another. Someday, science will attempt to quantify love as a chemical, as a hormone, as a state of consciousness produced by these chemicals and hormones. And so one day that will be achieved. And yet there will always be an element, an aspect that cannot be quantified because it comes from the spiritual source. It comes from Hashem, my word for God. Love God all the time. I don't feel like loving God right now. Love God. Why? Why should I love God? What has God done for me? I've had this craziness in my life. I've had this chaos in my life. I've had this pain, this suffering, this unhappiness. Why did God do bad things to good people? And I'm a good person. Why does God do bad things to me? Love God. How can we understand this consciousness to love God? And the truth is, we don't love God. Not even with one iota of all of our heart, with all of our strength, with all of our soul, without all of our extra. We don't love God. But the commandment, the statement is to love God. How do we understand this? What consciousness do we use? Does a parent, when the parent knows that the child truly loves them, does it enhance the child's, the parent's attitude? Does the parent love the child more because the child loves them back? I think not. Romantic love. Do people love each other more in a stronger way, in an additional way, because they both love each other? Is there strength building on strength, enhancement on enhancement? Some people would answer that question with a resounding yes. But in truth, they're talking about the physical responses of the human body that Hashem created. There is something about physical intimacy that is not quantifiable and that does build with the consciousness of thinking about the other person, wanting to give pleasure to the other person. That consciousness builds on itself. That consciousness reinforces itself. That consciousness makes for a more pleasurable experience. That consciousness makes for a glow, a fulfillment, a happiness, a joy that one carries with them throughout their life. As long as they can remember, as long as they can connect to that consciousness, that glow, that inner sense of serenity, of peace, of happiness, joy, all of that stays with them. And everything they do is enhanced by this. What is the kavanah that one should have when trying to achieve love of God? It's not quite the same as I've said previously. want to be closer to God. And therefore, that's the consciousness that we should have why we do a particular mitzvah. We study. We lay tefillin. We put on tzitzit. We keep marital relations in certain rituals and restrictions. Why do we do this? In order to get closer to God. But the mitzvah to love God is the epitome, is the actual being of closeness to God. I cannot get closer than the ultimate level of loving God. Yes, there are levels of love. There's different levels of consciousness of loving God. But there is an ultimate level. The ultimate level of dying for the sake of God. Kiddush Hashem. Sanctification of God. And that's a different mitzvah. Which is higher? The love of God or the sanctification of God? In the Shema, there are 248 words. It's actually 245, but we repeat three, so, or we say three additional. We connect to 248 words. Each word connects to the part of a body, it connects to a mitzvah, it connects to the parts of the soul. There are 12 words in the Shema that we say at the beginning, and then we go into the balance of the words. The first sentence of the Shema after the Shema is this verse that is commanding us to love God. This section has 42 letters, 42 words. This section is dealing in the frame of the head. This section is dealing with the consciousness of head, of Rosh. This section is dealing with the consciousness of the soul. And it says, love God, the consciousness of the soul. Love God with all your heart. Levavecha. The word for heart is lev. But this is levavecha. Two bets. Lamed bet bet. And the sages come and teach us that it means the both inclination, both hearts. We have two hearts. We have a good heart and a heart that is not so good. We have a heart that comes from the sharing consciousness and a heart that comes from the receiving consciousness, from the power consciousness, from the strength consciousness. The mitzvah is to love God. Love God takes work. To love God is not something that happens by itself. To love another human being is not something that happens by itself. And everybody will tell me, but what about the magic? What about all of the excitement of a new person that you've met? To love God takes work. essence, the action of becoming close to God. There is no other way to describe it. And yet, why describe it? Kabbalah teaches that we need to have logic, the left brain, the consciousness of Bina, of understanding, and unconscious, the consciousness of intuition, the consciousness of just knowing. Love God is on this level of just knowing, of just being, of working at purifying myself so that the only thing left within the consciousness of my body and soul is love. The word Ahava, Aleph, Hey, Bet, Hey. The Tetragrammaton is Yud Hey, Vav Hey. There's a connection between the Yud and the Aleph. We know that the number 10 includes the number 1. We can see that connection. The letter Bet, which is from Ahava, how does it relate to the Vav, which is the third letter of the Tetragrammaton? How do we make that connection? The Bet is three Vavs. When you look at the Bet is a house. The Vav is a hook, a channel. The end of the channel is the vessel, is the house. The end of God, God forbid there's even a concept of that, but the end of the essence of God is Ahava, is the Bet, is the house. I'm going to bring this class to an end. I want you to think. I want you to contemplate. I want you to not be logical about V'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha v'kol levavcha uv'chol nafshecha uv'chol me'odecha. Why do we need to love with our soul, all of our soul, with our nefesh level of soul, not our neshama level of soul? We have to purify the nefesh in order to love God, to love another human being. It's instinct for a mother to love a child. It is not instinct for a person to love God. That is a choice that we make. That is an action that we take. And in taking that action, we become closer to God. We cleave to God. And none of these words do justice to the intuitive level of love. Contemplate that intuitive level of Ahava. Know not because it gives you pleasure. For no reason, love God. The term that's used in Hebrew, lishma, for her own sake. Study Torah lishma is the phrase. Love God, lishma. Love God because you become a better person. Love God for no reason. Love God because you can. Does anybody have any questions? Tomorrow night at 10 p.m. we will have a class reading from the Zohar from the Parasha of Shmini, which means 8. And Tuesday night at 7:45 we will have a class that will start with questions. But if people don't have questions, we will be discussing the triple concept of secular world, religious world, and spiritual world. What are the differences? What are the same? Where do I want to be? And next week at Wednesday at 10 p.m., we will take up the next mitzvah in the list. Shabbat Shalom.